Today's study is titled Jesus. He humbled himself. We as God's followers should seek to emulate the life of Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 2, 6-7, Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I reflect back when as a young lad of 11 living on the farm. We had a dairy herd which brought us a regular income every month. But for my father it was very hard work and long hours. Every second weekend the dairy assistant would have his weekend off, so Dad asked me to stand in. After some persuasion by my father, I would fall out of bed around 6:30 a.m, stagger downstairs to sit in front of a warm fire to a cup of tea and a piece of buttered bread Dad had kindly prepared for me. Meanwhile, Dad would be out preparing at the parlour for milking, having been up at 5:30 in the morning, first having had a bite to eat while reading a short portion of the Bible. We needed to rise that early in time for the lorry, collecting the milk churns at around 8:30 a.m. I recall regularly getting up on a late autumn morning when it was cold and black outside, rain falling like stair rods, a routine I had to face in spite of the treacherous daunting weather outside. I needed to wear thick clothes, a waterproof coat and feet fitted with two pairs of socks before slipping my Wellingtons on. I then had to walk through the thick mud a good distance up to the field where the dairy herd was waiting for me to take them down into the farmyard to be milked. Often there would be one or two stragglers who I would need to round up and coax to the gateway before I could open the gate to let the herd out. The overnight heavy rain and the many hooves of the cows had left its mark around the gateway. I would then manoeuvre myself through the crowded herd, precariously negotiating a honeycomb of great deep holes up to 18 centimetres or 8 inches deep, which were like large sinkholes filled with water. It was dark. I could barely see the reflection on the water. I would try to keep my feet steady by riding on the top sides of the holes, but often my foot would slide into the holes when the toe got stuck by the suction of the mud and water. There's no time to think, for with the momentum of that precarious moment, with me trying to release my Wellingtons out of the hole, only my foot came up less the Wellington. Then, as I was trying to hold my balance, I had to put my foot back down again to quickly gain my balance, with my foot slipping back down into another hole close by, filled with freezing cold water. Not a moment to lose, keeping my balance. While the cold water was soaking my socks, I had to quickly drag my Wellington back on out of the hole, with no option but to slip my foot back into the Wellington and move on to complete my task, walking behind the herd back to the farm with an uncomfortable, wet, cold and soggy foot. My early morning experiences pale into insignificance when I recall how Jesus willingly stepped out to the glorious palatial palace of heaven, a place of authority, a place of love, joy and peace, to step down into the world so dark, full of sin and iniquity, willing to serve and show kindness to mankind who he had created to have rich fellowship with, yet to be so utterly rejected as he sought to show love and kindness. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 2, 6-8, who, being the very nature of God, did not think it equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. It is so true what Isaiah the prophet, so many years prior to Jesus coming down as a babe living and working amongst men. We read in Isaiah 53:3-5, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely, he took upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed. To help us understand more fully the word humility, we need to look at the opposite characteristic to humility. It is a spirit of pride. Solomon made a number of wise statements relating to pride. In Proverbs 16:17-20 we read, the highway of the upright avoids evil. Those who guard their ways preserve their lives. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. We also read in Proverbs 11:1-3, the Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favour with him. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The integrity of the upright guide them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity or unfaithfulness. Pride, as the psalmist says, can bring calamity. Often we discover if we are proud, we end up being humiliated. After God had so wonderfully delivered the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt, they ended up living in the desert for 40 years of their own making because they were so stiff-necked. He allowed this generation to pass in order to humble and prove whether they would stay faithful to him. We read what God said to the Israelites through Moses in Deuteronomy 8:1-3. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness those 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I have to stop and ask myself, is pride preventing me from being an effective servant for God? It is said, you cannot put an old head on young shoulders. It is so true. As we get older, we see those younger than us developing at the different stages in life. We see them struggling to attain, then taking a plunge when something does not work out. It's like a young child learning to walk. It will often tumble, then get up again. It is a time of trial and discovery. Through all these growing pains, we've become wiser and stronger. Like God told the Israelites through those testing times, he may allow you to face tempting situations to strengthen you and develop your character, making you ready to do the task God has set out for you. Soldiers have to go on maneuvers to test out their combat ability. We as soldiers of Jesus Christ will also need to face the temptations that the enemy, Satan, uses to try and trip us up, to make us strong and alert. Job went through very grave trials, all allowed by God, but that was not to humble him, God wanted to prove to Satan that Job was faithful to God. Knowing God would bring him through however grave and costly the trial. What an example of strength and endurance for us to take on board. Remember, what Job endured was not in vain. God rewarded him richly for showing strength through trials. We read in Job 42:12, "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part." So let us go back to the verses in Philippians 2:6-8, "Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Yes, it cost Jesus his life, but let us continue to read what Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 9 to 12. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." One hymn writer penned these words, "The lower I go, the higher I rise." God is seeking a people who are humble in spirit, yet at the same time, we may go through testings and trials which will humble us, but God's a rewarder. We read in Hebrews 11 verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." If we are to become a faithful follower of Jesus Christ and live a life of humility, we must first have faith to believe in God and be willing to trust him and be guided by him. Jesus told a parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, 11-32, which reads, "There is a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. I call to mind the number of very wealthy people in our day who have spent much on large palatial homes, fast cars, and very large super yachts. They have no time for anyone, using their money to seek pleasure and only thinking of themselves." The story continues about the prodigal son in Luke 15, 11-32. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Money can gain us many friends, but when we have nothing, they quickly disappear. The prodigal son soon found himself struggling. He had lost all his money and would have lost any friends he may have had. He went through a time of humiliation. It reads, "He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." It was at this point the prodigal had to make a choice. How true are the words written in Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." The previous Archbishop Rowan Williams wrote a book titled Barefoot Discipline, which emphasizes the importance of humility. I recall some years back one archbishop who experienced what true humility was. He recalls having a crisis in life. He knew he could not deal with it by himself. He had to make a choice. He could either struggle on or call for help. He chose to seek help by going to his subordinates for support and advice. The Archbishop was overwhelmed by the love, compassion, and generosity of the bishops under him. He was truly humbled by the warmth and love they showed him. We may be in a similar place, but our pride and independence is getting in the way. Remember, if we continue to struggle, we are not showing the God characteristics Jesus showed while on earth. When we make that choice to reach out for help, there is an extraordinary bond which takes place. It is that all-important completeness through having unity with the church, the body of Christ. The Apostle Peter seeks to encourage us in 1 Peter 3, 8-12. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from their evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Peter also said in 1 Peter 5, 5-6, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. If you're struggling, there is still someone who is waiting and willing to share your burden. It is Jesus. He wants to share the load. He is eager and waiting for you to call out to him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is waiting and longing for us to come to him. He is the great example of humility. He spent his life on earth showing compassion and giving to the needs of others. Let us continue to read what the prodigal son decided to do, the choice that he made. We read in Luke 15:17-20. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. The prodigal son realized what he was missing. He realized the privileges back home he had left behind. He humbled himself and was willing to return, but not as a son. He was willing to go back and live home as a servant. The spirit of the prodigal son was broken. He had changed. He was no longer self-seeking. He had a spirit of gratitude. We are discovered there is strength in humility, seeking that lowly place, a place of servitude. The parable continues in Luke 15:20-24. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to his father, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put the ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and was found. So they began to celebrate. It is one of the most difficult things to do, to acknowledge you have wronged someone. It does humble us to ask for forgiveness. In contrast, to be on the receiving end of someone who is remorseful, who comes in sincerity asking for forgiveness, you sense and feel their lowliness of spirit. It brings with it a deep sense of compassion and understanding. You are so ready and eager to accept their forgiveness with a big hug to follow. Often, this brings with it a strong bond, a renewed openness, developing a deeper understanding of one another. The response of the prodigal son's father was overwhelming. As well as his compassion, we know what was behind the father's desire and immediate response to his son. It was his unfailing love for his son. His feelings were put into action. He overwhelmed his son with gifts and celebrated to show that his son had returned to the fold. The prodigal son's father reminds us so much of Jesus, who is longing for mankind to turn their backs on this world's attractions and pleasures. He and his heavenly father long so much for us to return to his fold. I am reminded of a children's hymn which reads, "I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has written. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, this is the dearest, that Jesus loved me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he does love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms do I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me." And the chorus concludes, "I am so glad that Jesus loved me, Jesus loved me, yes, Jesus loved me. I am so glad that Jesus loved me, Jesus loves even me." This is a moment to pause and ask ourselves, are we seeking the pleasure of this life, but never satisfied? Do we know the love of Jesus living in our heart? Have we humbly prayed to him for forgiveness for all our past sins? Have we asked him to come into our life, to become a follower, to find fulfillment and purpose in life? Today is the day of salvation. Let's go back again to that verse in Philippians 2:9 and see the reward Jesus received by taking such a humble place, coming down into this sin-torn world and suffering for us. The verse says, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that's above every name." Jesus took that lowly place by humbling himself. In return, God exalted him to the highest place, seated with his heavenly Father. What an accolade! Solomon says in Proverbs 29:23, "Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honour." This is what the Apostle Paul encouraged us to do in Colossians 3:12-14. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Let us seek to follow those wise words, looking to Jesus, who is our supreme example. As true followers, taking on that humble position that Jesus took, the Apostle gives these reassuring words to God's faithful followers in 1 Corinthians 2:9. "However, as it is written, what eye has not seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him." I encourage you to reach out to God, invite him into your life. He will welcome you into his family. You will know complete security, God's Holy Spirit will illuminate your heart with his love, giving you a compassion and love for all around you. As you carry the aroma of God's love with you, folk will recognize what you have and be drawn to you. Make that choice today and return to the fold. In closing, let us savor the presence of Jesus and the heart of one who is gentle and humble in heart as we listen to the song by Graham Kendrick, Meekness and Majesty.
Sacrifice, and as they crucify, praise.